It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner, PJ Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Russell Westbrook announces that he has tested positive for COVID-19. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and of course our show is also on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And if you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, hit the subscribe button, drop us a review, leave us some stars. I would sincerely appreciate it. So, as already mentioned, Russell Westbrook has tested positive for COVID-19, kind of confirming many of the social media speculations going on, mine included, as to why he had yet to join the Rockets in Orlando alongside teammates James Harden and newly signed Luke Mbamute, who are also not in Orlando. Now, what does this mean? First off, this sucks. Anybody that gets COVID, it's not pleasant. Now, what do we know about this? So first off, he announced this through his Instagram. So Russ jumps on Instagram, makes the post, makes it official, and this is what he said. I tested positive for COVID-19 prior to my team's departure to Orlando. I'm currently feeling well, quarantined, and looking forward to rejoining my teammates when I am cleared. Thank you all for the well wishes and continued support. Please take this virus seriously. Be safe. Mask up. Hashtag why not. So as always, he's got to throw his little hashtag why not in there. But what does this mean? So first off, we don't know whether or not he was asymptomatic or symptomatic. So I actually, because this is all, this the only information we have is that he has tested positive. So in an ideal scenario, he was asymptomatic. So that means he wasn't showing symptoms and he won't be suffering from any symptoms. He just happened to have the virus. So that would be probably the best case scenario, because my worry for him, and this will extend even more so to James Harden, if James Harden does turn out to have COVID-19 as well, which all the signs are pointing to that at this time. There's no rhyme or reason for why he wouldn't be with the team when they have such a finite amount of time to practice and prep before the resumption of the NBA season. There's no reason that he wouldn't be with the team and be actively practicing with them unless it was because of COVID-19. Or, I mean, maybe like death in the family or something, but even then, I feel like there would be an announcement. And so, first off, I appreciate Westbrook for, you know, jumping on Instagram and just confirming, just saying, hey, there's nothing embarrassing about getting COVID-19. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, you've got people speculating now. So with Russ, my concern with him, and again, this extends to James Harden, is what are the lingering effects of COVID-19? Because we know so little about this virus and how it affects the body, but we do know that there are people that have had COVID and still have lingering effects after the supposed 2-week period that the virus actually lasts. And for a professional athlete who needs their body to be in the best shape possible, to be functioning at 100% capacity, even if this virus were to impact, you know, his lung capacity or his physical, his fortitude overall, just whatever it may be, you know, I'm concerned in that regard. But he says that he's feeling well. Now, I will say that there was another post by Nina Westbrook, his wife, stating something along the lines of, you know, missing her husband. And you know, she posted that talking about how she and the kids miss him. And he replied saying, you know, I miss you guys too. So that leads me to believe that he was quarantined away from them, which, again, this might be a reach, but it also could be that he was quarantined away from them because he was showing symptoms of COVID-19. So, because it's a lot harder to catch if you're asymptomatic and not showing any symptoms whatsoever, it's a lot harder to catch. Now, again, these NBA players have had to go through, before they took off to Orlando, they had to get tested, and it's possible that they caught it then. There's a lot that we don't know about this, but at the root of it all, Westbrook has it. Harden probably has it, and at this point, it's probably, again, it's not best case scenario, but it's better that they have it now than getting it as the season restarts or midway through the playoffs or something to that effect, because they'll ride out their 2 weeks, they'll have some antibodies built up, and will be less likely to contract the virus moving forward. I know that we made some jokes on social media back when this all first started and Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell both tested positive, and the jokes simply came from the fact that it was a competitive advantage to have your star players catch COVID-19 early rather than later, because then they'd be less likely to catch it once the NBA season came back, and that's a legitimate thing. So for all the worries about these two guys, at least they got it out of the way now. And I know that sounds crappy to say, get it out of the way. It would have been ideal for both of them to have never gotten it in the first place. And again, we still don't know if James actually has it, but I'm operating on the speculation that he probably does. That being said, it's not the end of the world. Russ has said that he's healthy and he will be rejoining the team about midway through this week, as well as James Harden and Luka Mbamute. Those were words directly from Coach Mike D'Antoni, who we will hear his post-practice interview from Sunday evening here in just one moment. Just want to run back some of that audio for you guys. And he confirmed that those players will be here about midway through this week, so I'm expecting them to land in Orlando probably Wednesday, Thursday-ish, and be ready to join the team. And he's also said that, you know, they've been working out individually. They are ready to hit the ground running as soon as they get there, and then the team will finally be whole, and they'll be able to really get some serious practice time in. So with that is the big news that has come out, is that, you know, Russ has tested positive. So coming up in just a second, we will hear from Mike D'Antoni's post-practice interview with the media after a quick word from our friends over at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's basically impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why would you want to endure the often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning, like, is your car an LX or an EX? And then you have to wait while the employee goes behind the counter to order the parts on his computer, and he's only choosing the brand that his warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. About to run back Mike D'Antoni's interview with the media after the Sunday evening practice. So without further ado, let's just jump right into that.
Yeah, I think the bubble life will be fine. Once you get into a routine, and it'll go by quickly, and then especially when we start scrimmaging and then playing games and playoffs, it's going to go by real quick. So I don't see any problems there. It's just a matter of, you know, 5 months is a long time. These guys have been off for a while. just building them back. You can see they're a little rusty. So we just got to be really careful about getting through these first days and making sure they're going to be healthy going into it.
What did you see when you say they looked a little rusty? What did you say?
Getting up and down is not the easiest thing in the world after 5 months. Usually they've already spent a month really working out hard to come to training camp. Well, they didn't really have that opportunity, especially in the last couple of weeks when it got bad in Houston and then the quarantine. So we're just taking our time and making sure that everybody gets through without soft tissue problems or all of that. So, but they, they're good. The spirit's good. It's just going to take, the 3 weeks we have, it's going to take all 3 weeks to get them ready.
Thank you.
Next question, Adam Wexler.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me now?
Yeah, Adam, gotcha.
With the acquisitions you guys made in season, Jeff, Damari, obviously Robert, there's not a whole lot of time to hit the practice court. You have that time now, plus your coaches and yourself had all this time to look at them and how they'd fit. How much more prepared are you guys to slot these guys in and see how they fit well with what you're trying to do?
I think it's a lot better. We were getting there anyway, I think, during the regular season. And by the end of that season, we'd been fine. But it just takes a while. But now having a mini training camp, it should work out great. And Robert's they're smart anyway. Jeff, Robert, Damari, Carroll, they're smart players and veterans. So they're picking it up real quick what we want to do. And I said the biggest thing right now is just make sure that we get back physically and mentally back in the swing of things real quick, because these games will go by quick and you're in the playoffs before you know it.
Next question, Rachel Nichols.
Hey, Mike. Wondering what you think the consequences will be, if any, of James and Russ and Luke not being with you guys for these initial practices.
I think it'll be fine. They're working and they're home based and they're doing a little bit like what we're doing here right now, and they'll be ready to go 5-on-5 when they get in here. And it'd be nice to have everybody in the game, but as everybody's dealing with it. Everybody's dealing with trying to do the best you can. And I don't think by the time the 8 games are over, there won't be any effect.
Thanks.
Next question, Mark Berman. Mark?
Mike?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, can you give us an update on the guys who are not there, James, Russ, Luke Bamuti? Anything new on those guys?
Nothing we're still expecting a few days, and could be 2 days, 1 day, 2 days, 4 days. It'll be soon. It's not going to be long. We hope, never know. But we think we'll get them back in here toward the middle of the week.
Next question, Saman Ali.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Eric Gordon had just returned the game before league play was suspended. You've gotten a couple practices to see him. How does he look? How does the knee look? Is he still in pain?
He hasn't missed a rep. He looks good. Shooting the ball extremely well. Looks strong, fit. He's ready to go. That's probably right now. You had to make an assessment of everybody. That's a big bonus for us.
Next question, Adam Spolin.
Hey, Mike, you've referred to this as a mini training camp. How much have the last 2 days replicated what the first 2 days of a normal training camp were actually like?
More or less the same. You go a little bit harder the first 2 days. Tomorrow will be a lighter day. Then you start getting into scrimmages or 5-on-5 more. We probably would have played some 5-on-5 the last 2 days. But just because we had all of September to get these guys ready. So we're a little bit slower out of the gates, but more or less the same teaching, same points, same film work and all that. So we'll catch up toward the end of next week. We'll be called back up and getting into, scrimmages and things of that sort. Be like a normal training camp.
Next question, Terrence Harris.
Mike?
Yeah.
Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
I apologize.
Oh, that's all right.
Can you tell us specifically why Westbrook and Hart and Luke aren't there?
No, not really. These are things that people are dealing with, and we're not going to get into, you know, why not. They're on the way.
Okay.
Next question, Cody Davis.
Hey, Coach. We saw a clip of Tyson Chandler getting some reps in during practice. So by any chance, do you mind sharing what role do you have in store for Tyson when the season resumes?
Well, we'll see. He's the ultimate professional, and he will be in shape. And if we need him, obviously, it's a great talent and experience, especially the only guy I think out there that's won a ring. So we rely a lot on him, just how he talks us through things. And then we'll see how it goes. And also with him in practice, he can replicate the other teams, how they play with a traditional center. So we don't play against ourselves, which we won't see ever hardly. So it's he's a valuable piece, whether he's in the rotation or not, or in emergency, or somebody gets hurt. We'll see how that works out.
And that's going to do it for MDA's interview with the media. So coming up, I want to hit on a couple of his talking points in just one moment. And we are back in here, final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So one of the things that MDA said that, you know, kind of was a little interesting to me is that, one, the idea that Tyson Chandler is used in practice as kind of a similar mirror to how other teams play using their centers. And that led me to believe, and I kind of referenced this very briefly on Twitter the other night, but that led me to believe, okay, so a lot of people were frustrated, right, about the initial waiving of Isaiah Hartenstein. Why would you waive a young, promising big when you have guys like Tyson Chandler and like Thabo Sefolosha who are getting very limited minutes in the Rockets rotation? And why would you not waive one of those guys instead to make room for the David Nwaba signing? Why would you get rid of Isaiah Hartenstein? And the Thabo situation was unfortunate because Thabo eventually did opt out of the Orlando restart, and had he been the one to get waived in the first place, then they could have cleared up the spot for David Nwaba, but then they also would have still needed a spot eventually for Luke Mbah-Mute. So there's, you know, a whole lot going on there. But I think now, just based off of that quote from MDA, kind of him briefly talking about it, that makes sense as to why they wanted to hang on to Tyson Chandler. One, from just a chemistry perspective, you know, he's a veteran leader. He's, you know, a defensive voice in the locker room for a team that definitely needs their focus more on that end of the court. Even though he's not playing, it doesn't mean he's not doing anything over there on the bench. He's not just sitting there silently, you know, with, you know, staring directly ahead, doing nothing. No, he is very much part of the team. And that's important to have in a basketball team, in a squad like this, that got championship aspirations, is to have some of that veteran leadership, to have a guy who's been there, done that with Tyson Chandler. But more than that, the practical element of having him here on the team is that he does in practice, and again, this is the first time that I've ever considered this, so I appreciate MDA bringing that up, is that he does mirror how other teams with legitimate centers will be playing the Rockets. And not only that, he does it probably better than opposing centers will, because he's a defensive-minded big. He's a guy, and yeah, he's a little long in the tooth, he's a little up there in age, but in practice, you know, when he can, you know, go, when he's not having to go 100%, when he's able to just kind of go through the motions and explain to guys, well, this is how this read probably looks, this is the positioning where, you know, they'll probably be in, and then also having, you know, having the team actually have to compete against a 7'1" center in Tyson Chandler in practice is huge. Now, if you replace him with Isaiah Hartenstein, is Isaiah going to be nearly as intimidating or nearly the shot blocker that Tyson is in practice, or have anywhere near the defensive savvy of Tyson Chandler? Absolutely not. So while it's frustrating that the Rockets dropped a young, promising big in Isaiah Hartenstein, it kind of makes sense as to why they kept Tyson Chandler, because he plays a bigger role than just a few minutes here and there on the court, which we haven't even seen him play. It's been ages since we've seen anybody play, because, you know, hashtag COVID-19. But it's been ages since I feel like we've actually seen him play in a game. I don't have his you know, game log pulled up, so I don't remember the last time that he actually did play in a game. But that's besides the point, because they don't need him just for actual game reps. They don't need him as a rotation player. They need him for that veteran locker room experience, as well as it sounds like they use him in practice to mirror other teams and the ways that they will defend this small ball lineup. So I think that's pretty nifty right there, something that I personally hadn't considered before. And another area that MDA kind of brings back up is, you know, the vertical spacing, briefly, but he did kind of go into talking about it's more important. They believe it's more important to focus on, you know, getting into their shots early. And that feeds back into stuff that we've talked about here before, thinking back to the exclusive interview from The Athletic with Austin Rivers, talking about how coach wants more kick ahead passes and wants the offense to start sooner. And there's a whole issue there in the play styles and how different they are between Russ and James Harden, in the fact that James is very content to get the rebound and kick the ball up the court to somebody who's streaking to the other end, snowbirding, leaking out, whatever, for an easy transition bucket. Whereas Russ, when he gets the rebound, he tends to look to drive the ball himself, and that allows, even though Russ can go 90 miles a minute and get down the court and is probably the fastest player in the league with the best acceleration, maybe only seconded by De'Aaron Fox, who is just an absolute blur, that allows defenses a chance to get set. When Russ takes the rebound and drives it himself, the length of the court, coast to coast, they can get set. Whereas a kick-ahead pass, if you've got people leaking out, it allows them to continue to play in transition before the defense gets set. And so if you get up the shots before the defense is set, if you're actively running in transition, which it sounds like this is what the team really, really wants to do. It sounds like they weren't doing it enough and they want to do it more moving forward. I'm excited to see that version of Rockets offense, because when they get into their sets early, they're able to find easier shots. Because then once the defense has a chance to get set in the half court, then it becomes up to James Harden and Russell Westbrook to break down the defense. And that works pretty often, but it's also asking a lot of those two guys to consistently break down opposing defenses one-on-one, with Russ, you know, operating out of the post or just one-on-one on the perimeter. James Harden, same thing, one-on-one on the perimeter, isolation or beating his man off the dribble to break down the defense. That's a lot to ask of them every single possession, whereas getting points in transition, that's the bread and butter of this team. That's what this team needs to do to be successful on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, it's a whole nother monster. They have to communicate, they have to actively want to play defense, which has been a struggle for this team, but that's to be expected from a veteran team. So I'm not so much worried about that side of the ball, because they've turned it up each and every year in the playoffs the last few seasons under MDA. So I'm not so much worried about that side of the ball quite just yet. Now, if there's problems right out of the gate, then, you know, maybe we'll turn our attentions back to that. But right now, I'm excited, and even with Westbrook announcing that he's got COVID-19, it sounds like he's healthy, he's getting through it, and he'll be rejoining the team shortly, as will James Harden and Luka Bamute. And as always, we'll keep you guys posted right here with any and all news that comes out about the team. So that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.